That was fantastic. I love this thing. You know how when you're in a grocery store parking lot and you like take the cart and push it really fast and jump on it and ride it across the parking lot? I feel like I want to do that with this thing. It's also pretty awesome. You can hide all kinds of snacks in here. You can make sure you got all the important stuff. Put your mask in here. You've got snacks here. Hey, I've got prizes I need to give out. We're at the end, you know, it's the last Sunday in 2020. And these people on the front row deserve candy because I have given them seats on the front row for about 9 months now. And they have not complained once, or if they did, I didn't listen. And so they deserve that. That's awesome. You know, this was a really interesting year. We all know that. We can talk about all the... One of the things I find interesting about 2020 is that you learned things this year that you didn't know you were going to learn. How many of you before 2020 had never used Zoom or Google Meet or anything? Yeah, hands everywhere. And all of a sudden, you feel like you became an expert. You know, we had people calling up to church, and we're walking everybody through it so that small groups can meet. It's interesting how you get put in certain situations, and you learn things that you never imagined that you would learn. You know, life kind of is like that in many ways, that sometimes you become an expert on something, and you didn't anticipate that. You wouldn't have guessed. If I project a couple of years down the road, that I am going to be knowledgeable and have expertise in a certain area or a certain skill. And there are some things that we get into because we're interested in it, right? You have a hobby or something that you like to do. It's you know, music or art, and you become proficient at it, and you study it, and you work at it. Because you want to, and it's intentional. But sometimes there are other situations where you are completely, you have no idea what's going on. You find yourself stumbling into a conversation, and you feel like you're listening to people who are proficient and have knowledge in an area, and you have no idea what they're talking about. You ever been in that situation? So the weekend that Michael visited Trinity to give kind of his candidating weekend and all that, I stumbled into a conversation on the playground between Tyler Warner and Derek Alexandrinko. And these guys are both involved in, and they were talking shop. I mean, they were talking series shop, and they're like involved in contracting work, and as they were talking, there was words like water displacement and right of way and a bunch of other stuff that, and it was the three of us, it was like a three-way conversation, and they're looking at me as they're saying all this stuff, and what am I doing? I am just sitting there nodding my head like I understand. Yep, I can imagine that would be difficult, you know. And absolutely had no idea what they were talking about. And so after I felt like I had acted like I knew what was going on for long enough to not seem like a complete idiot, I exited the conversation and felt like I was going to try to find somebody that I could talk to about chocolate cake and donuts or something like that, something I was super familiar with. But there's a lot of things that we become knowledgeable and proficient at because we are interested in those things. We want to be successful at what we do. There are some things, though, that we may become an expert in that you never saw coming. There was one time that I called up a friend and I said, "Can you tell me what this means?" I had a document. I said, "Can you tell me what this means?" There was three statements, and it said, appearance of type 3A Hillary cholangiocarcinoma moderate bipolar intrahepatic biliary ductal dilatation, nonspecific soft tissue thickening along the SMA. Can you please help me out with that? Those of you that are nurses and doctors have a little clue about what was going on there. So my friend that I called that day was Dr. Riggs, and this was the test result from the first, scan, CAT scan that I'd had after I started treatment for cancer. And so I was very curious to know what this scan was showing, and I'm reading it, and I had no idea what it meant. That was in November of 2017, and over the last 3 years, I have read and learned and studied about the structure of the liver and the bile duct system and cancer treatments, and I've gotten to a place where I can describe exactly what all of that means to you, even though I can't pronounce it very well. I know what that means. I can draw you pictures. I can tell you exactly where the cancer that I have is. I can tell you about radiation and chemotherapy and why immunotherapy is different. I can talk about the genetic predisposition I have and the DNA MMR that creates the situation for the immunotherapy to work. And I've totally lost a ton of you, and I can get really excited about it, and I can draw pictures and I can show you stuff. And before November of 2017, I would have never, ever cared to know any of that, right? And I felt like at a point I needed to know these things, because when I stood in front of a doctor and he starts giving me these reports and this, I need to look at it and be able to ask questions and know, what does that mean? What is that? That seems like that saying, is that better? And to not be completely out of the loop. I can remember the first couple of times we stood there, Gwen and I are just like deer in headlights going, we need to find somebody to tell us what all this means. And it was important to me because the quality of my life and my ability to advocate for my own healthcare was based in my understanding of that. And so it was important that I needed to have, be proficient and have clarity and be an expert in these areas. For a lot of people, reading the Bible is very similar. All right, reading the Bible can be very similar. When I first looked at this medical report, it made no sense. All of these words were just like gibberish mumbo jumbo that looked like they were just making up words to be fun. The words were hard. We look at the scripture, and sometimes the words were hard. Words are hard. We don't have any clue what it's talking about. When we're around other people who read God's word a lot, we just kind of stand there and we just kind of nod. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we know what they're talking about. And just like I was with Derek and Tyler, and we're like, man, I need to go find some chocolate cake and donuts or something, because I don't know what in the world they're throwing around, theological concepts and ideas and things that I don't get and I don't understand. And this morning, I want to talk just a little bit about why we should read the Bible. We've been doing some evaluating, thinking about just what kind of happened over the last 10 months in the hearts and lives of churches and Christians. And the truth is that we all struggled because community is a key part of our spiritual growth. We all know that. Being together, worshiping together, interacting with one another. But one of the things that I began to realize about myself and that many people began to realize is that they had not done a good job over the past of self-feeding themselves from God's word. And so when they couldn't go to Bible studies or they couldn't go to church, that they began to suffer from the learning from God's word because they hadn't developed an intentional, ongoing habit of reading God's word often and on their own. And so I just want to take a little bit as we wrap up the end of this year and take a look at why should we be reading the Bible. And secondly, how to read the Bible. Just going to answer a couple of brief questions. And I would start out by, I would like to make an assertion that I think that reading the Bible is the most important thing that you can do with your time. All right? If you think about all the things that grapple for your attention and your time, ultimately, reading God's Word is the most important that you can do with your time. Now, I'm going to start this morning at a place that I'm going to recognize. I'm going to build everything that I'm talking about this morning on the fact that I believe that the Bible is the inerrant Word of God and is historically accurate. All right. Now, this is a bit of a jump to start at this point, because I understand that not everybody is at a place where they buy into that yet. Not everybody has come to a point where they grappled with the questions and the issues, and some people are leery of God's Word. Not everybody buys into its historicity, its accuracy, and its inerrancy of Scripture. It's important, very important to investigate those ideas. You cannot base your life and the relationship you have with God on a book unless you feel and believe that you can rely on it and it's accurate. So those are very important things to investigate, but that's a different lesson for a different time. We're not going to jump into those things. But if that is something that you're curious about, something that you find yourself asking the questions about God's Word and is it reliable, I'd like to suggest a book. I can put out this nifty thing right here. There's a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell. It is one of the best works on the validity of Scripture and God's Word. It's a big book. Josh McDowell set out to disprove that the Bible was valid. He was an unbeliever, and he set out to just crush Christianity. And when he got to the end of his research, he found that there was no other answer than to place his faith in Christ. So it's a big book. It's got a lot of hard words in it. So he put out a easier one, and this is called More Than a Carpenter, and it's kind of a synopsis of some of the ideas and evidence that demands a verdict. This is an easy read. You can read this in a couple hours, maybe not even that long. It's very short. But the evidence that demands a verdict is a good one to jump in and get some answers to that, of saying, "What do I just believe this on faith?" And that's the answer we get a lot. Oh, you just have to have faith that it's historically accurate and true, but there's way more reasons that we need to trust God's Word than just by faith. So why should we read the Bible? I want to jump right into and kind of give you a couple of reasons why we should read the Bible. I believe that what you read determines who you become and what you believe. What you read determines who you become and what you believe. There are so many different places that we can take in information, right? There's movies, there's books, there's TV shows. There's the news, there's podcasts, there's YouTubers, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, MySpace. I'm just seeing if you're paying attention. Who laughed? Gwen laughed. What we put in determines who we become. And I believe that, which in turn determines what comes out. So as I read, it determines who I become in my heart and my soul, which then impacts what comes out, what I say, how I act, how I treat people. The things that you read and watch will mold and shape who you become. There was some research that was published in 2012 in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology that said that the act of reading of and identifying with a character in a story means that we tend to subconsciously adopt their behavior. In reading about our favorite characters, we may actually become more like them. And they were kind of looking at fiction books, and as you read and you really get into certain types of books or characters, that you begin to take on and become somewhat like those people and who they are, and you translate that into God's Word, and as we begin to read about who Christ was it becomes a part of who we are, and it subsequently helps us to become more like Jesus. A minister named Charles Francis Potter in 1927 said, "What you read when you don't have to determines what you will be when you can't help it." And I thought that was a phenomenal quote, that there are things that you have to read. You have to read stuff for work or school or whatever. But what you read when you don't have to, what you choose to read, will actually determine how you act in a situation where you can't help it. So think about when you become frustrated or angry and things just come out. The things that just come out are going to be deeply impacted by what we choose to read. Things that we voluntarily read will determine how we respond under pressure, when we're angry, when we're frustrated, or fear comes. Those reactions that flow out of the reality of our heart and our soul is what Potter is suggesting that this research has shown. What you read determines who you become and what you believe. So think about it. We all struggle with self-image in some way. And here's just an example of this that I kind of want to delve into a little bit. We all struggle. We all feel at times unworthy, insignificant, unloved, like we don't matter, like we're not making a difference. This is just a core human struggle that at some level we all deal with it. We look for all kinds of places to find answers to these questions. Imagine that if you believed at the core of who you are, that you were appreciated, if you felt that you were seen and heard, and that if you lived knowing deeply that you were loved, if you knew those things, if that was all at the core of who you were, how would life be different? We can say that we know that God loves us, that we can say that we have value, but has it penetrated into our heart and our soul? I want to suggest that by reading Scripture, the more we read Scripture, the more we read about those things, the more it becomes true in our hearts and our souls. And just listen to some of these Scriptures. Zephaniah 3:17, it says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." I mean, that verse is just packed full of God appreciates you. He says that he takes delight in you. Jeremiah 29:12 says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." God hears us. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, so that he may strongly support those whose hearts are completely his." God sees you. And in Romans 8:37-39, it says, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from what? The love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from that if we're in him. He deeply loves us. And I need to read those things. I need to read them often. I need to study that. I need to pray over it so that it becomes a part of who I am, and I don't allow the lies from Satan that I'm unappreciated, I'm unimportant, I am not heard, I am not seen, I have no value. Those thoughts are the ones that are fighting for the attention of my heart and my soul. So the more I read God's word, the more he is able to instill that in me, because what I read determines who I become and what I believe. All right, the second reason that I think that we should read the Bible is that it helps us to know what is true and what is not. When I spend time reading God's word, it helps me to know what is true and what is not. Have you ever disagreed with anybody over year 2020 about something being, you both are on opposite sides of truth. I feel like that's pretty much about 95% of conversations is that, no, I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. You don't know. You're a moron. No, you're a moron. It's like that's just been pervasive in our culture. And when we read God's word, it helps us to know what is true and what is not. We spend so much time, and this is the normal way. If I come across some issue and I don't know what the truth about it is, what do? Google it. It's the first thing you do. You Google it, and you come up with some information, some data. You know, you maybe read something on Wikipedia. You start delving further. You read some stuff. And then after that, what I may do is if somebody's telling me something that I don't know is true about, you know, electrical stuff, I may call Dwayne. Hey, so somebody's telling me that if I do this, this, and this, that I'll be safe, but it sounds like my house is going to blow up. And Dwayne would help give me information on that. You know, like whenever I had questions about doctor stuff, I called my doctor. We take in information from people. We compile all this data, and then we create the best possible answer that we can. The only problem with that is when I begin to do research from Google, Mark Zuckerberg and all the other people out there know what I like to hear, right? Because your computer and your phone and all that, the algorithms feed you information that supports what you already believe and the things that you like and all that. And so you begin to create, speak into your life that confirms what you already think. And I usually don't spend a whole lot of time hanging out with people that think greatly different from me. And so I just get confirmation around me. And if I go to God's word for that, I can find truth in a way that is from the source of what truth is. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't look to advice from other people. There's some great information on the internet. But I need to remember that the God's word is a place where I can find out what's true and what's not. Now, I can't go if I'm looking for truth on electricity. It's not going to help me out there. But on the bigger, greater issues, that I need to go to him and his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. That scripture has the ability to reveal truth. It has the ability to reveal truth in my heart and in my soul. And it is, because it is reliable in the Word of God, I can trust it. It is timeless, and it is appropriate and applicable to my life and my time today. So the more time I spend reading the Bible, the easier it is to see through the muddled mess of ideas out there and to see clearly what is right and wrong. There are so many reasons that we should read the Bible, but I don't have time to go into them all this morning. But one other thing that I want to, just one other reason is that reading the Bible, I believe that reading the Bible often, not just occasionally, not just a few times a year, but reading the Bible often is critically necessary for spiritual growth. It is critically necessary for spiritual growth. Matthew 4:4 says, but he answered, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This idea of reading the Bible is like food for the soul, right? That without eating, the body will die. Without electricity, devices don't work. Reading the Bible is the life force of the soul. And reading the Bible nourishes your soul and allows it to mature. And I believe that it is so critically important. There's absolutely no way that we can continue to grow spiritually without spending time in God's Word. I can become more knowledgeable about Christian things. I can enjoy a conversation with somebody because I've learned about the Bible, but I cannot grow my spirit and my soul without being in God's Word on my own. So let's take a little poll, all right? How many of you wait until your car is on fumes before you really start thinking about rolling into a gas station? Like you just push it, right? You roll in and you're like, yeah. And we've, you know, with today technology today, man, it tells us how many miles. I'm like, dude, I got like 13 and a half miles left. My home's 12 miles away. I'll make it. How many of you fill up your tank and then you drive, and once you've used 1 gallon of gas, you pull into a gas station and top it off? Anybody do that? No, because that's crazy, right? That is absolutely crazy. And here's what I want to suggest. It sounds crazy, but that's how we need to view God's Word and feeding our soul. It's easy to get caught in a routine of only spending time in God's Word when our tank is empty. And so we live life and we're running on fumes, and we come to God and we come to His Word to look to get us out, to feed, you know, to feed our soul and to give us what we need. But we only do that when things get rough, when the tank gets low. And we need to live our lives every day with a full tank. Find some time and some space, at least 5 times a week, to spend time in God's Word and to fill up your tank. You will be feeding your soul and you will grow spiritually stronger. And it's a foreign concept, because that's not the way we do things. In life, we don't use something, and whenever I've used 1/8 of the laundry detergent, I go get some more, and we don't. We wait until it's almost empty, and then we get some more. And it's so critical for our spiritual growth that we're constantly topping it off so that we can function out of the overflow of who He is. So reading the Bible determines who you are and what you believe. Reading the Bible helps you know what is true and what is not. And reading the Bible is critically necessary for spiritual growth. To most of you here, none of those statements are radically new information. It's a great reminder. Most of us would go, yeah, I agree with that. I know that. We know it's true. But it is still, on top of that, so hard to make a habit of getting into God's Word often. I don't think I have ever talked to someone, please correct me if you have, that has said, I have just been spending way too much time in God's Word. I've got to stop. It's becoming bad. I've spent too much time in God's Word. He is just filling me up too much. And I need to find something else to do. Nobody says that. Here's what people say. People will say, I can't find time. There's no time in my day to squeeze it in. I'm too busy right now. I've read the Bible some, and I can't really understand it. I previously attended church, and the teaching was difficult to follow or didn't seem relevant for the things I'm going through today. Some people are like, I don't know where to start. It seems boring. It seems like it was written for a different time. It's not really current and politically correct, and it's judgment. All these things that you hear people say for not reading God's Word. So I want to give you a few helpful tips. These are just some super practical things that will help you develop the habit of reading God's Word more often. All right. So if you are new to the Bible, start somewhere easy. All right, if you're new to the Bible, start somewhere easy, like the Gospel of John. Don't jump into Leviticus if you haven't spent time in God's Word. Don't jump into Revelation because it seems like the most fascinating book of God's Word. Start somewhere that's going to be easier to read and understand. The Gospel of John is a great place to start. You can get great devotionals, and devotionals are simply an author has taken a section of Scripture and has just helped you think through how does this apply to life. There's some devotionals out there that are fantastic. Remember that the goal is not quantity, but quality. So whenever you say, hey, I want to read through God's Word and I want to spend 30 or 45 minutes, that doesn't necessarily just mean spending 30 or 45 minutes just reading through God's Word, just to get through a bunch of them and go, wow, I read for 45 minutes. There are some stories that are good for reading that way. Some of the books of the Bible are it's kind of a story and you're following through it. But the important thing is quality, that I'm spending time in God's Word and I'm not just checking off a box that I did it and I got through 60 verses. And so in order to help do that, journal while you read. Some of you guys do that, I know, and it's probably changed. I know when I started journaling, when I read God's Word, it changed everything about studying God's Word. And just get somewhere that you can write some stuff down as you're thinking through what you're reading. And then lastly, ask questions about the text. That's probably one of the things I think a lot of people don't do. And whenever you start asking questions about what you're reading, that's where you kind of slow down and begin to delve into quality of study time, as you're asking questions of the text. It's like whenever the doctor hands me this scan and it's got all this stuff on it, and I'm like, I got some questions, all right? These are important questions. Because I need to know, does this mean that I have cancer somewhere new? Does this mean that the cancer that I have is growing, or is it staying stable? I want to know these things. And so I'm asking questions of the text that I'm reading. And so in order to understand God's Word and how it applies to your life, you have to stop and ask questions of the text. And so I've got three methods of asking questions. And they're all varying kind of, I guess you would say, difficulty levels. And get deeper kind of as they go. The method one is just to simply read through a passage of Scripture, slow down and ask yourself, what does it say about Jesus and what difference does that make? What does it say about Jesus and what difference does that make? It's a simple way of just reading through, and what is this telling me about the God of the universe, about his son Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, and how does that impact me in my life? That's a great place to start. And just work your way through the book of John and just ask that question. Read 10 verses and ask that question. What is this saying about Jesus, and what does that have to do with me? Method number two is a three kind of pronged approach, where it's, what do I need to know? What do I need to feel, and what do I need to do? And so a lot of times I found that my Bible study at times I was too heavy on the what do I need to know. Oh my gosh, I want to know stuff. I need to delve into this, and there's theology, and there's difficult stuff. And I come away going, oh my gosh, I learned so much, but did it change anything? So the other questions are, what do I need to know? What do I need to change in my heart, and then what do I need to do with that? And so there's just a simple head, heart, and hands idea as I read through Scripture. And as I ask these questions, it's going to unleash different things about Scripture that maybe I've never seen before. Method number three is a more detailed, and there's actually a series of several other questions, and you can continue to add through. But this one I read through a passage of Scripture and I ask myself, is there an example to follow? Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a promise to claim? Is there a prayer to repeat? Is there a verse to memorize? Is there a challenge to face? There's just a growing list of questions that I can develop. And at times I've had, 20 questions or so. And I have it on a card in my journal so that I'm reading through Scripture and I look at it. And what I'm asking, is there a verse in here I absolutely need to memorize? Is there a verse in here that's telling me something that I need to, an example that I need to follow? Is there some character in this story that acted in a certain way that I need to follow the example of that person? And so it just helps you to unpack what's happening in the passages of Scripture. So here's what I want to just end on, is I want to remind you, all right, Isaiah 48, not 48, 40, colon 8, chapter 40, verse 8, says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but what? The Word of God stands forever. The Word of God stands forever. And why would I spend my life and my time becoming proficient and an expert at anything else at the cost of God's Word? I'm not saying that you can't become an expert and proficient in something else, but I need to be an expert and proficient in God's Word first and primarily, and build everything that I do off of that. And it's going to require me, it's going to require you to think about your time. It's going to require you to set aside a few things. It's going to, it becomes difficult. You know, it's like used to, my kids went to school and I had my quiet time, you know, but, and now they're there always. You know, it's like my spouse is working from home and I can't, you know, it's like you get in your car and you go drive away somewhere. I don't know how many times I've been somewhere and I've seen somebody sitting in a parking lot in their car. I'm like, they're just trying to get away, right? trying to find some privacy. Take your Bible and find somewhere. Hide in a closet. Do something to find some time to get into God's Word. Not just reading it, but asking questions of the text and allowing it to begin to change who you are. When I spend time in God's Word, when I ask questions, when I journal, I will find that I will be able to go beyond chocolate cake and donuts. And as I think about that conversation that I had with Derek, or I didn't have a conversation, I watched a conversation between those two guys, and it made no sense because I didn't know anything that was going on. I wanted to go off to something I understood. The more time I spend in God's Word, the more I study it, the more I will understand the depths and the truths of who He is and what it means for me, and will be able to move past the meaningless, the frivolous, into what is most important. I will be able to understand God's amazing love. I will be able to live out His grace and forgiveness, that He offers us in Christ, through the strength that we can experience from the Holy Spirit. My prayer is that as we roll into 2021, that all of us collectively will agree that we want to spend more time in God's Word, and that we can hold each other accountable for that. We can have discussions about that, and that I will not allow myself to use an excuse that restrictions or COVID or anything has had a spiritual impact on my life, because I should be pursuing God on my own and growing. So let me pray for you guys. God, I just, this morning, I come before you, first of all, confessing that I do not always spend time in your Word as I know I need to. I allow other things to become more important. God, I put the pursuit of other things before your Word, before time with you. And I just confess that. God, I want to pray for us that we will begin to engage your Word fresh and new, with a new vibrance, with a new fervor. And God, that we would grow spiritually because we are pursuing you, because you are taking the truth of your Word and you're using it to penetrate our heart and our soul and change us from the inside out. God, I thank you that we can pursue that because your word is powerful, that your word is life-changing. The more time I spend reading it, the easier it becomes to understand it, the easier it becomes to apply it. And all of the excuses that we use to stay away from or to not read your word often begin to fade away. So may we pursue you and your word deeply and often this next year. And we just pray this in your name.